I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, we've already read the passage, and we just want to focus upon verse 11 and verse 12 today. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And let's just unite together, please, with our Bibles open before us, before the Lord, the throne of grace, in prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we come to thee now in our Saviour's name, and we thank thee for the way of the cross that leads us home. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst make those who are thine into good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Might we endure hardness as those good soldiers in this day. And O God, we pray that thou wouldst meet with us, that thou wouldst bless us, that thou wouldst do us good here this morning. And oh, that we might know that thou art here of a truth to meet with us. Bless and be with us, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. I meant to say a word about the week of prayer this week, but I'll do that tonight. But we're coming to this portion of Scripture before us, and there is a very ancient Chinese saying that speaks of the art of war, or the text that is the art of war. And this was a Chinese military treatise that was drawn up in the 5th century by a military strategist by the name of Sun Wu, or Sun Tzu. His name means Master Sun. And it was composed of 13 chapters, and it became a standard work on the subject of military strategy. Even coming down to today, it forms the basis of military strategy right to this day. And not only that, but business tactics and legal strategy, and going on beyond these things, this text, The Art of War, is still something that stands and has sense. But among the things that were said in this ancient strategy, military strategy book, was the saying, "Know your enemy." And in the book, Sun Tzu wrote, "If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle." And there's a great deal of human wisdom in that, but it also, I believe, is divine wisdom. Because here in this portion of Scripture, the Lord warns us about the wiles of the devil. And we need to know our enemy today. We need to know who he is and what he is doing. Military intelligence is a great part of any battle. They send out their spies, and by different means they try to understand what the enemy is doing and what his tactics are going to be. And if we can know our enemy, it goes a long way to defeating the enemy. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, we are not ignorant of his, or the devil's, devices. And I want you to see how Paul here identifies the enemy of our souls. Paul writes here about the armour of God, and he says that we need to put on this armour against this enemy who is the devil. And as we look at what the Word of God has to say here, we notice how that it speaks about the enemy as being the devil. Now, we know that the devil is not omnipresent, he's not everywhere, but there are a multitudes of demons that are at his beck and call. And we need to know what he is doing in this day in which we live. As children of God, we inherit the blessings of Christ and the riches of Christ, but we also fall heir to his enemies. In Psalm 2, it reminds us that this world's system is against God and against his Christ. Now, some people think that the devil is a mythical creature, Liberals will deny his existence. But we will never understand or fully comprehend what is going on in this world. We will never be able to diagnose life, and we'll never understand what is going on unless we recognize that there is a devil. And in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And if we understand that from the start, it will go a long way to understanding what is happening in the world. Indeed, this is more vital that we understand this. If you understand this, you will have an insight into this world greater than if you study all the newspapers and all the periodicals and all the articles that come out. You will go a long way to understanding the world more than by studying any of these things. So we want to look at what the Word of God has to say about the devil. Now, there are some people who will say that we should not give prominence to the devil, and we shouldn't. And there are many preachers who say, well, we want to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should. But I think you know in some ways that it is part of the wiles of the devil for us not to think about him, to be ignorant of him. And the thing is that so many of God's people are so ignorant about the devil, about his devices, that they're open prey to him. That they're ready to be defeated and are being defeated because we do not know the devil. Now, we do not exalt the devil in any way. But there is one mistake in overestimating the devil, and many charismatics fall into that mistake and see the devil around every corner and in every place. But it is an equal mistake for us to underestimate the devil. And I think that it is good that we see who he is and something about what he does. And in this portion of scripture, we're introduced to the wiles of the devil and our great enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So for a few minutes today, what we want to think about is our enemy. We want to know our enemy. And the first thing that I want you to see as we look at our enemy today is his person. Now, we recognize the fact of his person. The Bible teaches clearly that there is such a person as the devil, this evil personality. The Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke about this person. In Matthew chapter 14, the Lord told the parable of the sower, and in verse 39 he said, the enemy that sowed them, that's the tares among the wheat, is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And in John chapter 13 and 2, he puts the he says that the devil had entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot. And again he mentions the devil. We know that there's a personality who in this world, like a roaring lion, goeth about, seeking whom he may devour. If we believe the Bible, we've got to believe in the devil. And I don't have to even point to the Word of God. You see his effects in this world. You see the evil. You see the wickedness. Some of it comes, much of it comes from the heart of man and his sin. But there is a malign influence that is directing affairs in this world in which we live. Now, we think of the fact of his person. But where does he come from? If we speak of the reality of this devil, who is he? And where does he come from? Well, turn back with me to the book of Ezekiel and to chapter 28. And there we read about an evil personality who is called the King of Tyrus. Now, obviously, in one reference, that speaks about a king of Tyrus. But as you read about the king of Tyrus, there are some things that are said about this king that obviously do not apply to an earthly being. The reference goes beyond this evil king and goes to speak about the influence behind the evil king. Now look at verses 12 and 13. of Ezekiel chapter 28, and I'm in the wrong chapter here. Ezekiel chapter 28, look at verses 12 and 13. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden. Now that's not going to be said about the earthly king, the king of Tyrus. He was in Eden. Who was in Eden? Adam and Eve were in Eden. Who else was in Eden? The serpent, the old devil. Thou wast in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in that day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Now, you notice some things about the devil here, and this is a picture of the devil, the one who was in Eden. And it speaks about him as being the anointed cherub. Now, that's not going to be said about a man. But you notice that he is a created being. He says that was prepared for thee at the end of verse 13, in the day thou wast created. And we think of how the devil was created. He's a creature. He was created by God. And he was created as a cherub, one of these high beings, these angelic beings. And he says that he was the anointed cherub that covereth. So he was, that means he guarded. And he guarded the presence of God. He was one of the great creatures. And it speaks of him as the anointed cherub. And he was for the specific purpose of guarding the throne of God. And then in verse 13 it says, it speaks about the workmanship of thy tabrets and pipes was in the day that thou wast created. And there's a mention there of music. And very often when you hear about the devil, there's an association with music and with musical instruments. Not that all music, of course, is from the devil, but the devil does seem to have some kind of musical ability. And when you hear about some of the rock musicians that have claimed that they got their powers and their songs from the devil, perhaps we can see the musical ability that there is there. Some of these rock musicians will attribute their success to their giving their souls to the devil. So we see that he's a created being, but also we see that he's a corrupted being. Now if you go down to verse 15 of Ezekiel chapter 28, it says, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Again, you see that he was created. Till iniquity was found in thee. So the devil became a corrupted being. He found, iniquity was found in him. He sinned. And then it says, it specifies the sin. Verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. So these verses would indicate that the devil fell. The devil is here. He's if you look at Isaiah 14, you also learn something about him, this shadowy figure. But he fell from heaven. And if you look in other portions of Scripture, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 24, and Jude, verse 6, you will see indications that he carried some of the angels of heaven with him. And these fell from heaven, and these became the wicked angels, or the demons, that we see around us. Their effects are around us today. This horde of demons, or devil angels. And there was pride. He was lifted up in pride. The word of God says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Isn't that the ambition, pride? He said, I will be like the Most High. Here is a created being, but he is a corrupted being. And dear friend, if this highest of God's creation was corrupted by sin, and if pride entered into his heart and caused him to fall, then how much more should you and I not guard against this great sin of pride? How it brings destruction and brings despair into the lives of so many. And it is the woe and it is the destruction of the devil in the end. That is the thing that will destroy him. But not only do I want you to think about the person of the devil, but turn back to Revelation chapter 6, and I want you to think about the principalities of the devil. Now, if you look in the portion of Scripture, it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but then it says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, you will notice there that there are ranks of devils. You will notice that there are certain levels of demons. This is what this is referring to, the principalities and powers. You also get principalities and powers amongst the angels of God, but also among the demons. There are ranks, there are different levels of them. But they're all strong because it says we wrestle against them. And we are going to have to be strong. And this wrestling is not the play acting that sometimes you get in wrestling today. You know, you have the wrestling matches, and very often they are just play acting. But this is not play acting. This is literal hand, or well, not literal for us, but it is hand-to-hand combat, we might say, against Satan. And we think of how the Lord went into hand-to-hand combat, as it were, against the devil when he tempted him in the wilderness. You think of Martin Luther, who threw his inkwell at the devil one day. The devil seemed to be so near to him. But we think of how this is not against flesh and blood. Now, we have the tendency to think very often that our wrestling, that our battle is against the ecumenical movement and against men and against false preachers and against all these things. And we have the tendency to think, well, our battle is solely against men and against those that are around about us. But if we think that, we have sorely underestimated the battle that we're in. It's not against flesh and blood. But behind all this are the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, who are in the ascendancy. Now, think about these ranks. Principalities. That speaks about the prince demons. The word principality would presuppose that they are princes. In the book of Daniel chapter 10 and verse 20, the archangel Michael speaks to Daniel about wrestling in the spiritual realm against one that he calls the prince of Persia, and another that he calls the prince of Grecia, the prince of Greece. And these are obviously in the spiritual realm. And it would indicate that there are prince demons who seem to have the rule of certain territories in the world. Now, if I go into territorial spirits, there are charismatics who go into territorial spirits and they see demons who are in charge of this town and that town. And you can go overboard with this. But certainly in the Bible, it does indicate that there are prince demons who are over certain parts of the world. And we see the indication of that. Even the devil here that we read was called the king of Tyrus. Because the devil is not in every place. He's in one place in the world. We think of how it speaks about in the book of Job, how that when the Lord found the devil, where was he? He was going up and down in the world. He wasn't everywhere. He can only be in one place in one time. But there are these demons that are over certain parts of the world. Then there are powers. Now, this would indicate delegated authority. These are the demons that attack individuals. They are probably and no doubt more numerous than the prince demons. And they exert tremendous demonic power. And the devil is powerful, but he's, thank God, not all powerful. The Lord Jesus declared that all power is given unto him. And we think of these demonic powers that are in the world today. And they're around us. They are around us. In some lands where the gospel is not as strong as it is here, they are more evident. But there are powers. And then there are against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Or against the rulers of this darkness, perhaps, is the translation. Against the world rulers of this darkness. And the god of this world blinds the minds of those that believe not. Evil spirits in this world. And there are rulers who are in different places in the world. But we think of the rulers who are blinded by the devil. The rulers of this world. Now, I wonder if you've ever wondered, as I do, where the agenda comes out of. Suddenly, the whole world or the whole Western world is on one agenda. Sodomite marriage, same-sex marriage. They're on one agenda. The new agenda will be the transsexual agenda. They're always on one agenda. Where does the agenda come from? The world rulers of this darkness. I think that there is a suggestion in that. We'll come back to that on another time. But we think of the rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. That speaks in the spiritual world. And we think of the emphasis on the occult today and this sort of activity. And we need to pray that God will give us the strength. And we need to put on the armor of God that he speaks about here in this portion of scripture. We think about the principalities. Now, I've got to move very quickly here, but I want you to think about the purpose. We have this person. We think about the principalities. But what is his purpose? Well, universally, Satan is against the Christless. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3, Paul indicated that the god of this world dominates them that are lost, bringing people down into darkness, deceiving them. And destroying them, ultimately. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to destroy you. He wants to bring you into hell. That's his purpose. That's his desire. To bring poor, benighted souls down into destruction itself. He's universally against the Christless. He is collectively against the church. Do not think that the devil stands outside the door of the church, because he doesn't. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak, that all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." What does the devil want to do in the church? Cause division. What does the devil want to do in the church? Cause dissension. And if he can get into your heart, and if he can get into your mind, and he can't read your mind, he can't see what is in your mind, he is not omniscient either. But what he does is he watches, and with long experience and with wisdom and his demons, he can watch and he can see. And his purpose is to come into the place like this and to cause division among the brethren. And he will come with false doctrine. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 15, we read about Satan in the pulpit. "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers," the ministers of Satan, "also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And in 2 Corinthians 11 and 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And dear friend, when you look around you And when we hear about the false doctrine and the robbing of the fullness of the gospel in many churches, do not take that lightly. It is the Bible speaks about the doctrines of devils. The devil wants to come and bring his message in the pulpit. The devil wants to infiltrate into the church and has done so many times successfully and destroyed many good gospel preaching churches. He's against the church. And he's against the Christian. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4:5-8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Our adversary. He's the adversary of every believer. And when Pilgrim was on his way to the celestial city in Pilgrim's Progress, he had to pass through the avenue of lions. And they were there and they were threatening and they were intimidating. However, he found that they were chained, that they were limited. That they could not, they could go so far, but they couldn't go any further. And thank God it's the same with us. And Daniel knelt and prayed. We read that the archangel Michael came to him. And he said that his prayers were hindered because he said that the kingdom, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, there's another prince, withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. That's an angelic prince. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Demonic princes trying to thwart the prayers of the saints. There's a battle going on. There's a battle, and we should not underestimate the battle. William Hendrickson, the commentator, sums up what the Bible teaches about the devil in this way. He said, "He's filled with fury and envy. His malevolence is directed against God and his people. His purpose is therefore to dethrone his great enemy, the living God, and to cast all God's people, in fact all people, into hell. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He has a powerful, well-organized army and has established an outpost within the very hearts of those whom he aims to destroy. As a roaring lion goeth about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, I wanted to talk about his power, but we've mentioned some of the things already. We think about his wiliness. Now, we'll come to this in the weeks to come, so we'll not. But the Bible says, Paul prayed this, "Lest Satan get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices." So many of God's people today are ignorant of his devices. And Satan's getting an advantage. Ignorant of the word. Ignorant of the ways of God. And Satan is diverting people away into false paths and into bypaths. And we need to be aware of his wiliness. We also need to be aware of his wickedness. There is an uncompromising wickedness. There is no conscience there to stop him. He will use every means. He is called Diabolos in the Greek. And that comes from a word that means to shatter, to separate. He wants to separate you from God. He wants to, the Lord said to Peter, he said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat." The Lord said, "I prayed for you." And he wants to sift us. He wants to turn us upside down. We think about his worldliness. He's described as the prince of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. He's in this world. He is walking up and down in the world. He's not in hell this evening. He's in the world, walking up and down in the world. We think of all the multitudes of the devils that he has at his beck and call. And we think of how he has not all knowledge or all understanding, but he does have the wisdom to watch what you're doing. He watches your actions. He watches for the things that you are weak upon. And then he gets the chink in the armor. That's why Paul says that we need all this armor. And we're going to look at the armor in the incoming days. Now, I'm summarizing very quickly, but we'll come back to this. But what about the prospect of the devil? Well, we think of how he's a defeated foe. How that was commenced by the Lord Jesus. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, it speaks of Christ. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ finally and fully defeated the devil and put his foot upon the head of the old devil. He is the defeated foe. He'd want people to understand that he still has power. He wants people to try and follow him. He is the old deceiver. That's the name. The name Satan means deceiver. He is the father of lies. He is the expert of lies. That's why we need to be filled with the Word of God, because he will overcome us with his lies. But he is a defeated foe. That was commenced by the Lord Jesus. But thank God it is continued on by the saints. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 20, God says, "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." And the devil can be defeated in your life. How? By the power of Christ. And dear friend, if you're not saved today, the power of Satan can be defeated in your life. You're of your father, the devil. You're following the devil. You're following him down to destruction. He has you hoodwinked today by the world's propaganda. He has the world's media at his beck and call. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's sending out his propaganda. He's the expert of lies and deceit and spin. And my, he is the world deceived, and he's you deceived. But where is he leading people? He's leading them to hell. Leading them to hell. Because while this is commenced, this defeat is commenced by Christ and continued by the saints, it's consummated at the final judgment. That's when the devil is put into hell. He's never yet been in hell. But the devil knows he's defeated, and the devil knows where he's going. Don't follow him there. Don't follow him there. Listen to the word of God. Do not listen to the word. The world has much propaganda. It is out there fueled by the wiliness and by the wicked wisdom of the devil. And there's false doctrine, and there's false Christ, and there's false apostles. And we need to be aware of that. Don't, Christian, think that just the wee differences in doctrine today, if people do not preach the whole gospel and try to undermine the gospel and bring in these innovations, don't think that that is a minor thing. That is the work of the devil. And we need to know our enemy. We said that we need to know our enemy. Over the next few weeks, we'll think about the wiles of the devil in different aspects of our lives. But we need to know our enemy. But we need more than that to know our captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has won the victory. And it is in him alone that we win the victory. It's in him alone that we stand. And I hope that you're standing in him today. But we need to know our enemy, because there's an enemy out there. And he's working in this world. And as time goes on and the spirit of Antichrist increases, so he will work even more. And unless you're prepared, and unless you know your enemy, you're not going to stand in that day. So let's get to know our enemy. Not for the sake of glorifying him. Not for the sake of getting caught up with him. But for the sake that we can put on the armor of God and know how to stand against them. And may we have done all to stand in this day, having on the Lord Jesus Christ. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee today, and we do thank thee for thy precious word. O God, we thank thee for its power to our hearts, and we do thank thee for the fact that we can know our enemy. And Lord, we thank thee that he's a defeated foe, that Satan to Jesus must bow. Lord, we just ask thee that thou wouldst write thy word upon our hearts and bless it to our souls. And O God, that we know our enemy, but not follow our enemy in this day in which we live. Bless thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, I apologize for going over time, but for the fact that I was summarizing like mad there at the end to try. We'll come to some of these things again, but we do need to know our enemy in this day. And oh, that if the devil has you deceived, that you will turn away from him and come to the truth of God in this day.